He said, "Hello, is this Father O'Malley?" And he said, "It is." And the other line said, "This is IRS. Can you help us?" "Yes, I can." "And do you know the guy named Ted Houlihan?" "Yeah, I do." "And is he a member of your congregation?" "Yes, he is." Did he donate $10,000 to your church?" There's a little pause, and he said, Father O'Malley said, "He will." Obviously, that Ted Houlihan is not going to have a joyful heart in giving. And that's not what God wanted. That God wanted a delightful heart, a cheerful heart when it comes to giving. And Jeremy is thinking, every time I come here, he talks about money. No, actually, we talk about other things. You happen to be in the time when we talk about money. Tonight is a continuing study from chapter 8. I was sick last week, and then I had to skip. And Meryl, I think Meryl did a good job. Anyway, we are going to study about, as I said before, the chapter 8 and chapter 9 of 2 Corinthians is the most extensive study of when it comes to giving. So tonight's Bible study title is God's Way in Giving. God's Way in Giving. We'll start from verse 1 of chapter 9, 2 Corinthians, and we'll pray. Heavenly Father, your word says in one of the Gospels, and as a matter of fact, all four Gospels, it says that we cannot serve God and mammon. Either we serve you or we serve money, because we are greedy people, we are selfish people, we are prideful people. That's why you talk so many things about stewardship and money in general, because you don't want us to have that idol in our heart. We want you to be only God we serve. Only God we have in our heart. Let us learn to hold everything loosely, knowing that you are the owner, we are the steward. We dispense the money the way you want us to, with a delightful heart, with a joyful heart, with a trusting heart. Let us learn the principle from your word that we may exercise according to your word. May you receive all the praise and honor and glory. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 1 of chapter 9. Now, concerning the ministering to the saint, it is superfluous for me to write to you, for I know your willingness, about which I boast of you to the Macedonians, that Achaia was ready a year ago. Your zeal has stirred up the majority. Yet I have sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this respect, that, as I said, you may be ready. Lest if some Macedonian come with me and find you unprepared, we, not to mention you, should be ashamed of this confident boasting. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren to go to you ahead of time and prepare your generous gift beforehand, which you had previously promised, that it may be ready as a matter of generosity and not as a grudging or obligation. Superfluous is the word you use every day, right? When was the last time you used that word? I didn't know there was a word that such a thing is, other than in the Bible. It means extra, not needed, unnecessary. In other words, he said, it's not necessary for me to write to you about this kind of thing because you should already prepare it. See, Paul is using the zeal of Corinth people to promote the helping the Jewish people in Jerusalem, the saints in Jerusalem who were going through poverty. And of course, he challenged Macedonians, and Macedonians took the challenge, and they exceeded their goal. Now, he's using Macedonian people to challenge Corinth people. So the boasting about them is not in vain. while the Christian life should not be competition, but not, I don't see anything wrong with encouraging one another and provoking one another in love about this striving for the excellence in God's service. There's a tremendous difference, not slight difference. You know, some of the church has, this mega church has a lot of different things. If we are trying to imitate the mega church just for the sake of wanting to be that big, then we have a problem. But if we have a playground in the church for the children to be occupied, you know, during the time, and so they can play in certain time and they're going to study, nothing wrong with that kind of thing. You know, children's attention span is so short, we all know that, right? They have to have many different activities. The part, playing is a part of the activities, and children's volunteer can use that playing time, something connection with Jesus. Now, if we use that just to be like, you know, Calvary Tucson or Harvest Church and Greg Laurie's Church in California, then that's wrong. But if we are using it to promote Jesus Christ, it's a different story. Let's not just imitate somebody for the sake of imitation, but let's have a spiritual emulation. You understand what I'm talking about? Nothing wrong with making it better for Christ, but let's not imitate it for the sake of imitation. Apostle Paul did not see anything wrong with encouraging people to give. However, he did not set any amount and using high-pressure gimmick. If you've been in the Lord long enough, I'm sure you've been in high-pressure offering service or the organ, you know, meeting, gathering. I've been in that kind of place before. They use this sad letter from somebody, but you guys gave us money and we could do these kind of things. And then they pass the Kentucky Fried Chicken bucket to get more. And then they count, and then they don't see the number the way they want it, so they pass more. You know what? I'm going to, as you can tell, we're going the opposite direction. We hardly talk about money. Sunday morning is the only time we tell people, no, there's an offering box. And we don't even, a lot of times the people ask where the offering box. Well, it's around there. We believe that where God guides, God provides. So we do not promote, it's between, finance is between you and God. I highly encourage you, I do give to God. Because the giving is a trusting. We're going to talk more about it. If you don't give to God, you are the one who is missing out. Notice again, the Apostle Paul is saying about the boasting about the Corinth people. If you recall them at the study, and Corinth people complain about the Apostle Paul a lot. Remember 1 Corinthians? He literally had to tell them, I'm not the person you guys are talking about or thinking about. See, this is, in my opinion, one of the finest quality the Apostle Paul has. And we should all take hint. If he wants to talk bad about them and talk about their problem, he doesn't talk to other people about it, about them. He talks to them directly. And if there's anything praiseworthy, guess what he does? He talked about that to other people as well as to them. So if something needs to be dealt with, he goes to that person or that church directly. However, if something needs to be spread, he needs to spread the word about how good they are, then he's telling everyone about it. I think we should do the same thing. Apostle Paul wants these Corinth people to live up to their boasting and live up to their challenge. He is concerned that their generosity, their pledge, may not go in vain. See, God wants us to have the same kind of attitude. Promise it, and we keep it. Not just promise and not keeping it. a lot of people that says things, they mean well, right? They are the promise makers. They are not the promise keepers. That's the reason why this, how many years old? About 15 years old movement, promise keepers. That was made for the guys so they can keep their promise to their family, to their wives. Let's not be just promise makers. Let's be a promise keeper. Problem is the promise keeper started well and they didn't keep their promise. What am I saying? Because they want to keep that movement continuous. Instead of depending on God's power, they start to depend on their gimmick. How ironic that promise keeper couldn't keep their original promise. That will happen to us if we don't rely on God. Let's rely on God for everything. Where God guides, God provides. If God doesn't provide, that means we're going to take it as He doesn't want it. I don't think we can go wrong by doing so. Our formation makes a profound impact to the people. So Apostle Paul is letting the people know that you started well, you need to finish well. When God gives us grace, when God hands the things out to us, He doesn't pull out, you know, some of the old people pull out the little coin purse, pull out the penny like this, shaking their hands and dish out. He doesn't do that. When He gives grace, what does He do? Yeah, not only that. With a nail-pierced hand, He said, "Here, take this." He gives up completely to us. We should have the same thing, same attitude. We may not have a whole lot of money to give it to people, but let's give it with all of our heart. Let's continue in verse 6. Now, but this I said, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. This is the farmer's illustration, and the farmer who is sowing the seed may think that if I spread this seed, I'm going to have a less seed. I'm going to have a less seed in my barn. However, what he's thinking about is he's thinking about end result, correct? He put the seed on the ground and expecting that one seed will bring many more harvest. Yes, he can keep more seed in the barn if he doesn't put anything in the ground. However, if he does, he's going to get more. Same thing. Let's just think that the seed is our giving. If we give it to the God, He's going to multiply and He's going to bring it back and a blessing to the other people as well as to us. Those who give to the Lord will receive in two ways. Number one is materially. Number two is spiritually. Let's not ever think that God is going to give us, you know, like some of the faith movement people, teachers said, well, if you give $100 to God, you will get $1,000 or $10,000. I don't see any formula like that in the Bible. He may not give it to us in such a way, He dropped the big size check on Monday morning for the sake of the check you put in the garbage box or offering plate. He doesn't do it that way. But He promised one thing. Philippians 4:19 says He will meet all our needs according to His riches and glory. That's His guarantee. That's His promise. So He will do so. Spiritually, how He's going to bless us. Let's go to Matthew 19:29. Matthew 19:29. We can trust God, He will reward the giving heart both now and eternal life. In chapter 19, verse 19 says, everyone who has left the house and brothers and sisters or fathers or mother or wife or children or land for my name's sake will receive a hundredfold inherit eternal life. Again, because it says 100-fold, this is the area where they take it out of context to see this is how much you're going to get. If you give $100, you will receive $10,000. They're taking it out of context. God would never be in debt to anyone if we give to Him and He's not going to ignore our giving. We can never outgive God. Let's go to this, verse 7 of 2 Corinthians. So let each one give as he proposed in his heart, not grudgingly, underline as he proposed in his heart. That is very important. And you might want to write the one word down, plan. Not grudgingly or necessity, for God loves cheerful giver. Every Christian should be a giver with the right mindset. Giving should be the mandate and motivated by the purpose in our own heart. It should never be a curse or should be manipulated by anyone. We should give it to God because we want to give, not because we are told to give. And the way I look at it, if we don't give it to Him and with the right attitude, it's not worth anything. We should give it to Him joyfully, cheerfully. Why are we holding the things that it doesn't even belong to us? Why do we think that it is ours to give it back to Him? Everything belongs to Him anyway. God will bless those who are willing to trust Him with our fund, the fund we are allowed to use. God wants us to be the channel of blessing, to share and bless other people. He didn't tell us to be a reservoir of blessing to hold and to hoard everything for us. Do you understand the difference? Right? Right? Channel of blessing, not the reservoir of blessing. Reservoir does not give anything. It just hold. What are you going to do with that thing? You're not going to... Have any of you ever seen the U-Haul truck following the hearse? If you remember, some of you guys know the suit for the dead people. There's no pockets because nobody can take anything into their pocket in their death. We come with an empty hand. We go to death with the empty hands. Let's continue in verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward us, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have abundance for every good work. As it is written, He has dispersed abroad, He has given to poor, His righteousness endures forever. Now may He who supplies the seed to the sower and bread for food, supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruit of your righteousness, while you are enriched in everything for the all liberality, which caused the thanksgiving through us to God. Farmer have to wait for until harvest time comes, but blessing in giving can come immediately or sometimes throughout eternity. Yes, how do we know that you can receive the blessing right away? Knowing that God used us to bless other people, that itself is a blessing. Being used by God. Remember, last year I went to Bulgaria. And when I came back in October, and I told you guys about the supporting the Calvary, Blagovesta Schumann, remember that? And I gave you the report. And another thing that I mentioned about is we are considering the supporting them for the women's retreat there. And we did. They had a women's retreat last month, and they said it was a great success, and many ladies enjoyed it thoroughly. This is the second time they did. The first time they remember the another group we are supporting, Truth and Hope Foundation. They are the one who supported. This time we did it, so the Truth and Hope Foundation is using their fund to help other women. This is the picture I received. Some of you guys got the email I forwarded to you. Remember you got the email? This is the, can you see? Oops, too high. Sorry. This is gathering, I don't know where they named it, but you know me, I cannot pronounce the majority place. And this is the gathering of the about 40 women, or 30-some women. And this gathering, that guy is the worship leader, and this one is the pastor's wife, Rani, I think. They even sponsor the ladies who go to other churches. And the money you give to this church, and 30% of them, all the income goes to missions, and this is a portion of it. And the ladies were encouraged, and knowing they're knowing that there is somebody from the other side of the world care enough for them to send money so they can come to the feet of Jesus and listen to the Jesus' word. And this is the teaching session. This is the lady, her name is Sherry. She's the one in charge of the Truth and Hope Foundation for the battered woman. And this lady is a translator and teaching. You know, the ladies' retreat is about the same style as like ours. And the way I look at it, they have all this decoration on the table. Guys, just give us food. We are happy with that kind of thing. Huh? Sticky buns, yeah, that's right. Here are the ladies and the one guy. Try to check out that lady's red hair. Now, that is a red hair, don't you think? I met her. She is a translator, and she literally has a color of hair like the pad shirt. You got to be a very confident person to wear that kind of hair and walk around. But she is a delightful lady. I know it's not. I know it's not. Is Rani? That's pastor's wife. And that's the office manager, equivalent counterpart of Pam Youngberg. And she, this lady is a very small lady, and she's the one who has a diabetes and a kidney failure. She's got to go through dialysis. But you wouldn't know she has a problem because she's filled with the Holy Spirit. No, that's a worship leader. Yeah. I had a few. It was a kind of funny. He thought he knows martial art, and he was challenging me. But he found himself on the ground real fast. And then he started to call me Jackie Chan. Giving money is just as spiritual as handing out a tract or singing a worship song, if we do it with the right heart. If we do it with a wrong heart, then it's not worth anything. It's just duty. He owns it. Let's remember, he owns everything, and we're just supposed to use his fund properly to bring the glory to himself, not to ourselves. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6. First Timothy chapter 6, verse 6. Now, godliness with contentment is a great gain. Folks, please memorize this verse. Godliness with contentment is a great gain. Do you know the meaning of contentment? Can you, somebody give me the satisfied? Very good. Either one of them is good. Contentment is not looking for anything that to fulfill their selfish desire. They're completely satisfied. They're peaceful, have a peace with God within that situation. Does it mean it's wrong to have ambition? No. Godly ambition is great. Trying to make it better, nothing wrong with that. However, people with greed can never have enough. Do you hear me? People with greed, they can never have enough. Somebody who was extremely wealthy was asked, how much is enough? And he said, just a little more. One of the people I know, they have over 6,000 square foot home. Their home is so big, I think they should have a separate zip code. But they are never satisfied. They're always looking for more. The one with the godly contentment is more wealthier than the one who has all the money in the world without contentment. Final result is the glory to God as others give thanks to Him. See, when we help other people, these people in Bulgaria, they are not giving thanks to Calvary Chapel of Sarita. They are giving thanks to God and Father in heaven. Let's go in verse 12. For the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saint, but also is abounding through many thanksgiving to God. While through the proof of this ministry, they glorify God for obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ and for your liberal sharing with them and all men. And by their prayer for you, who long for you because of the exceeding grace of God in you. No amount of evangelistic zeal or worship activity can compensate a lost opportunity in serving others and meeting their practical needs. Remember what James said, go in peace and be fed well and do nothing as empty faith. Faith in vain. That is the reason why when we go down to the Mexico, to Nogales, Mexico, we feed them. Because they don't get to have a good meal. We give them gospel and we feed them. It is important for us to help other people practical as well as spiritual way. We are blessed with abundance in the United States. We don't know how we are blessed, how much we are blessed, until you go out a little bit of, how many miles, 60, 70 miles? How many miles, buddy, to the Nogales, Mexico? Okay, so 60 miles is it will be well within Nogales, Mexico. Those people don't have anything. If you've never been there, I highly encourage you to go visit them. What you have, what you throw away, is more than luxury for them. Let's continue in verse 15, last verse. Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. Who would that be? Jesus. See, God did not hold anything back. He gave His very best. So when we help other people, when we minister to other people with our financial supplies, let's give them our best. Let's make a few applications, three of them. Become an active participant in God's work. Stop studying about giving. Start giving. It doesn't matter how much Bible knowledge you have in giving. If you don't give, it really doesn't mean a thing. Many people say that they intend to give, but they never give. You know, you heard the story. Hell is paved with well-intended people. Yeah, I'm going to give my life to God. What did they do? Nothing. Intention is good, but if you don't make a decision and if you don't act upon it, it doesn't do any good. Second application, when we give to our God's work, it must come from our joyful heart of being a part of God's work. If we don't understand that we're being part of His work and His master plan with our finance, our giving become nothing more than duty and just fulfilling our obligation. God doesn't want that kind of thing. He wants us to have a joy and gratitude being a part of His master plan. Third application, we need to be generous and gracious in giving as our God was generous and gracious to us through Jesus Christ. He gave us nothing but the best. So let's give nothing but the best to our God. Remember, it was not ours to begin with. It was His, and we're just taking it back to Him. Let's stand up and pray. Tell Jeremy we are not going to talk about money for all.